I'm looking out at Salt and Light. I'm looking out at the most amazing people that I've ever experienced in my life. I'm seeing people that are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm seeing the beginning stage of end times beginning to be rolled out to this congregation, to our young people. I'm seeing a move of God in our young people, our children. God is speaking to them. God is moving in their lives. In the last days, He'll pour out on all flesh. Thank you, Dr. Mila, for the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, a prophetic word. We will write all that down. We will get it in your hands, hopefully next week, and so that you can read it over and over and know what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. I'm going to ask that you just go ahead and be seated, and let's continue in what God is doing, God the Holy Spirit is doing. If you go on Church Center, you will see what I had written to the church and those that are on our Church Center regarding this past week. But as we continue to talk about the God that we never knew, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Let's start something here today. I want you to recognize and start it with a question. Is the Holy Spirit a person? And I know because you're part of this church and watching online that you know that answer because you hear the word here. This is a word church. But we really need to get down to the basics of the revelation of the Word of God and where God, the Holy Spirit, has us today and what God, the Holy Spirit, is doing in our world today, even though we see tragedy and evil like has been expressed earlier. But it's very extremely important that question is answered. Because there are entire theological persuasions that do not believe the Holy Spirit is a person. They believe that maybe the Holy Spirit is a force, or the Holy Spirit is a power, or something that God the Father, the Son is doing. Because the reason is so important to understand is that He's a person is very clear in Scripture. And if you don't see the Holy Spirit as a person, then you will never develop a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And there will be a deadness in your spiritual walk. There will be many instances where confusion overwhelms you because you do not relate to God, the Holy Spirit. Again, if you don't see Him as a person, why would you ever talk to Him? Or why would you ever listen to Him? When you say, God, why would you even listen to the Holy Spirit, who has been appointed to talk with you? Because He's God. We're gonna just really unwind this confusion and make everything straight for you in regards to God the Holy Spirit. Because you can't have a relationship with a force or a power. So let me say some more things that may shock you. When I really thought about this, in reality, the Holy Spirit is not really His name. The Holy Spirit is his description. It is his function in the Trinity, the triune God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me give you, for instance, God the Father, his function in Trinity is to be Father God. God the Son and God the Spirit. Listen, his name is God. Holy Spirit is God. His function is to be the Spirit that indwells us, empowers us, and leads and guides us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is a person. God the Holy Spirit is a person. Let's continue to unwrap this. What distinguishes a person? You're a person, but you're sitting on a pew. Is a pew a person? No, unless you need some counseling. What distinguishes a person again? Some would say, well, they have life. Well, a tree has life. Is a tree a person? Some people think so. But a person exhibits the marks of a personality. So follow me. Let me give you a little bit. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but let me give you some theological personifications. A person has a soul. A person is not an inanimate object. A person has a soul. According to Scripture, in studies that are hundreds of years old, a soul has three parts. Has the mind. We think with our mind. A person has the will. We desire with our wills. And the emotions, we feel with our emotions. So the question is, what I'm trying to get us to think about, and what I'm really trying to do is not just give you the answers, thus saith Pastor Gary. I'm trying to bring you to a revelation of a relationship with a God that loves you. And that there's a lot of people that don't get that. It's not because they're not smart. They're very intelligent, probably smarter than me. But they don't get that God is a person and he loves you and he desires to relate and talk with you and hear you and spend time with you like any other person that you love in your life. And we have literally, like the world tries to do, is because we don't agree with them or we don't know them personally, that we try to make them nothing. So if they get shot by a high-powered rifle, that doesn't mean anything. And it doesn't hurt because you didn't know them. Is it possible that the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give you a secret. Yes, it is. That the Holy Spirit is trying to help us. He's trying to help us think like God thinks, desire what God desires, and feel what God feels. What's so amazing is, according to Scripture, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. When you've confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you became saved. At that moment, the Holy Spirit came into your spirit, and your spirit became brand new. And he's there, the God, Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about what he does, is there to be with you and to be personal and to love you, desirous of you to love him, to have a desire to communicate and to be with him. The literal truth, if you want to know what God thinks of you, again, he thinks of you so much that he lives inside you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He can tell you what God thinks because he is God. He can tell you how God feels about it because he is God. He also can tell you what God desires in that situation you are facing that you can't find the answer in the Bible. I'll explain that in a little bit, because he is God. So my conclusion, or let me say it this way, our conclusion is the Holy Spirit is a person. So let's dig in and find out who he really is. Let's use what we just explained. He has a mind. Our first point is he has a mind. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So the question is, how can he guide you into all truth unless he knows all truth? He knows it because he has knowledge. He has knowledge. Scripture tells us he, God, is omniscient. Omniscient is two words. Listen, I'm trying to get us to this point to personify, to bring character, a character of personality of God that has been given, and his action is Holy Spirit. Omni means all, and omniscient, shunt is science, means knowledge. So God is all knowledge. Bottom line, please know this, the Holy Spirit does really know everything. But let me give you my heart today. Let me give you my thoughts and where I go as a person. Not just a pastor, not just a teacher, but as a person that has a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. And he and I have time every single day. Matter of fact, he's available 24/7. I'm not really trying to prove to you that the Holy Spirit is a person, because most of you know this and you believe this. What I'm trying to show you is the benefit of him being a person. So I know I started with this in the introduction, but I want you to understand, okay, if he is a person, if you're watching online and you've never heard this before, if he is a person, what benefits do you and I have by the Holy Spirit being a person, God, the Holy Spirit, being a person? And that's what I'm trying to get at today. Here's, you have someone living inside of you that knows everything about everything and has committed himself to be your teacher. It's one of the main things. Let me give you an example. I was studying one day a particular scripture. I can tell you that anybody that studies scripture, you face the same thing. It's not just because I'm a pastor. I used every resource, books I had, to figure out what the scripture was saying. After about 4 hours, I really didn't get revelation of it. And it was something I wanted to bring to you a few months later, and I couldn't get it. And I just told God, I said, God, I can't teach on this. I don't get it. How am I supposed to teach something that I don't know? But I heard in my spirit, and guess who's in my spirit? the person of the Holy Spirit, and he says, why don't you ask me? Good idea. Yeah, let's go to Holy Spirit. And I went to him, I said, I'm trying to figure this out, and I just don't get it. And then I heard again, he says, well, ask me. And, you know, because I'm a man of God, and I study the Word, and I'm a theologian, and all these different things, it was almost like I rolled my eyes. Okay, what's it mean? You ever got an attitude like that with people? Yeah, okay. In an instant, Scripture jumped in my spirit. And immediately, revelation came to me about what that Scripture was talking about. After 4 hours of study and doing what I normally do. Now, let me just say this to you. That doesn't happen all the time. And I know you should be glad that I do study, that I spend time in the Word, I spend time in prayer, I fast. There are people that bless me at times because they're concerned that I have enough energy to do the things I do, and they want to bring me, you know, different things, and sometimes they'll call me at 5:30 in the morning or text me on Sunday morning and ask me if I wanted an energy drink or something. And a fruit drink. And, you know, sometimes I'll tell them, no, thank you. You're so faithful, but I'm fasting now. Because I'm really wanting to see the answer so that I can explain it to the body of Christ. So that I can lead leaders. Some of the greatest people in the world that love God with all your heart. And my passion. And any pastor should have a passion to know the Word of God, to be able to share it with their congregation. The Holy Spirit can be your teacher. And sometimes it's just hard work. Sometimes it's just discipline to journal, to get in the Word of God when you don't feel like it. But you feel like it more when you know when you do it, you're talking with someone, a person. You're talking with someone that responds to you, that made a choice to be in you 24/7. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 7 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taken the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So you have the benefit of him being a person living inside you, of having the mind of Christ in you. It's so important that you recognize that. How many times have you and many that are listening online have said, I just can't do this. I can never know this. I can never understand this. You got all knowledge inside you. You have the mind of Christ. But as you delve into his person, his character, then he begins to speak to you like he did with me in that moment of study. That's happened to me many times. But many times, you know, it's kind of like, study a little bit more, you'll get it. Get in the Word of God. That's why he gave us the Word. Because there's many ways that we hear the voice of God. Here's the second point. He has a will. What does that mean? Because remember, the Holy Spirit is a terminology. He is God, who's the Holy Spirit, of his character, of who he is, what he does. Acts 16:6. Notice the word forbidden. Now, when they had gone through Pergia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Think of that. This time, the Holy Spirit forbade them to teach in Asia, but later on, you'll see in Scripture that he said, go to Asia. The word forbidden or forbade means to exercise your will. So in other words, the Holy Spirit as a person exercised his will as God to say, don't go there now, I want you to do this. So there's direction there. There's a will of God. Have you ever forbid your children to not have sweets before eating dinner? Anybody? Now, I'm talking to parents, not grandparents. There's a different rule there. Can I get an amen? Amen, yeah. Sometimes you have to take your children to another room to forbade them, don't you? See, in that verse of Holy Spirit, God exercised his will over them. He is God. The Holy Spirit forbade them. That's an action of God, of his character, and there is a reason, because he's all knowledge. See, when you understand the personality or the person of the Holy Spirit, then you understand when there's a not now. Then you understand when it says go, when it doesn't look like you should go. Or do what you do. When God says go to another nation to help another nation that many of you have done, it's dangerous, but he said go. And you're obedient to that. See, that's relationship. That's confidence that comes because you know the will of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here's an obvious question. Since he has a will, obviously, because he is God, his will is the will of God. And you would like to know God's will for your life. So if his job or his personification is to teach you, to guide you, to direct you, and it's the will of God, and he does direct you, wouldn't it be smart to get to know the person who gives you the will of God? How many Christians today go months and years without knowing if this is God's will or not because they don't relate to the Holy Spirit? Because his person, as God, is to share with you the knowledge and God's will. Pause there for a second. How many times have we prayed, God, Father, but we don't relate to the Holy Spirit, and we struggle with knowing the will of God? Because we haven't dived into that relationship. Literally getting on our favorite chair, turning off the TV, and saying, Holy Spirit, I want to get to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know your will. Because what he does is what he hears. In other words, God, he is God, he speaks to you knowledge and his will. If you would like to know God's will for your life, get to know God. To know God's will is the number one question Christians have. So let me show you two ways that we know God's will. And let me just simplify this. First, the general will of God, you know this by the word. So I'm going to go quick here because of time, but I want you to just understand this. The first, how you hear God, is the general will of God. You know this by the word of God, by getting in the word of God. The second is the specific will of God, and we know this by his voice. All right? If you want to know how to be married and how to treat your spouse, if you want to know about marriage, it's in the Bible, finding the general will of God. But if you want to know whom to marry, it's not in the Bible. If you want to know which job to take, where you ought to live, what house to buy, it's not in the Bible. But how to operate your finances in a scriptural way, how to operate your business in a scriptural way, how to be godly husband and father, godly wife and mother, that's in the Bible. But if you want to know specifically how to deal with the gifting of that middle child you have, you got to hear the voice of God. How many of you can relate to that? Yeah. And that's the struggle that we have is because of our inability to understand the importance of relating with the Holy Spirit. So how do you do that? The answer is the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. If you want to know how to pray, it's in the Bible. If you want to know what to pray, you have to know the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, a little shocking again, none of you know how to pray. Now, I'm going to show you that in Scripture that we don't know. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now look at verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't know what to pray. Now, some of you smarty pants are saying, yes, I do. Well, the only reason why you do is because you know the Holy Spirit. Please know the Holy Spirit. Walk in that. Verse 26, continue. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts, watch this. Point one is the mind, and point two is his will. Knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There it is, right in front of us. And we have to grab a hold of this. Now, I know I'm being a little bit theological here and a little teachy here, but I want you to just grab a hold of this. I'm talking about a personality, the friend of God. I'm talking about someone who really every single day you don't walk around thinking you're all alone and no one understands. The Holy Spirit knew before you experienced it. He has all knowledge and he knows the will of God. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. He wasn't saying, I'm not God. But he's saying, talking about the will of God. And last week we said it's expedient that I go away, that for if I don't go away, I cannot send you the Holy Spirit, the action of knowledge and God's will. So to know the mind of God and the will of God is to know the person living inside you who has the mind and who has the will of God. It's the only way. Now, let me say it this way. Did you know there was a time in history that only one person could hear God? I could show you generations that lived on this earth and only one person heard from God during that time. There was a time for 400 years in the Bible, God did not speak to one person that we know of. Bible records that. Later on in this series, in Acts 2, Peter says, this is what the prophet Joel was speaking about. Joel says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and I want to tell you prophetically, that's happening now. God is moving on our youth. That's why you saw the evil going against people that are showing the gospel of Jesus Christ to our youth. It is evil, an evil spirit that has come in and has tried to destroy. But I want to tell you, and I know you've heard this, and I said this from the very beginning when I heard about what happened, is that, oh, the devil doesn't know what he just did. My will for Charlie Kirk to die? No, I don't understand that. But the devil really doesn't know what he just did. Kind of just like when Jesus Christ died. Devil, you don't know what you just did. Amen. Be encouraged. I am so excited as a papa that my grandchildren are going to live in some of the greatest times that this world has ever known regarding the move of God. And all of you folks and parents, man, have more kids. Because I'm telling you what, it's a good time. Everyone said, no way, oh, the prices, oh, the economy, this and that. I want to tell you, it is the greatest time of the move of the Holy Spirit, and you go ahead, have more kids. I will never get tired of dedicating children. Amen. He says, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. By the way, I am still seeing visions, so I'm not that old. Amen. Again, we're living in the greatest time because God can speak to you personally and every person can hear God through the Holy Spirit. But you have to relate to Him. Now, I'm going to say something that is one of the most important things that I probably will ever tell you. There's a few that I tell you that I say that. But here's one of the very few things that is so important. I can hear God with you, but not for you. The reason why Jesus came was to have a personal relationship with you. You can't have a relationship that is personal with you through someone else. You can't have that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit through me or through Dr. Mila when she gives the prophetic words. We're hearing the voice of God. We're hearing the Holy Spirit through a woman of God. Someone would say, we have a relationship with the Father through His Son, Jesus. Yes, but Jesus, Son, and is God. But with the Holy Spirit, we struggle with that. So here's the caveat. I do believe in seeking counseling. I say our counselors out here. But you don't ask what God is saying from your counselor. But you ask, am I hearing God correctly? And what I'm hearing, does it line up with Scripture? That's what you do. You don't walk in a counseling office and say, what's God saying for me? That's a psychic who is demonic. What's my life supposed to be? Who am I supposed to marry? That's demonic if you go to a psychic. One time after some asked me that, in my prayer time, I asked the Lord, I said, because I love people, God, do you have a word you want to give to me that I can give to them? And one time, because I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit's funny. He really is. He makes me laugh a lot of times. And you know what he told me? He says, yeah, I have a word for them. Go tell them to talk to me. Amen? Yeah, go talk to me because he wants to relate to you personally. You can know the mind of God if you get to know the Holy Spirit. You can know the will of God if you get to know the Holy Spirit. And here's a third. He has emotions. There's a famous passage about the fruit of the Spirit, and all the fruit are characteristics of the person. The fruit of the Spirit is describing to you the personality of God. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. A person loves, trees don't love. Joy, a person has joy. Peace, a person has peace. Long-suffering, a person has long-suffering. Are you getting this? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, all the fruit of the Spirit are characteristics of a person, and the Holy Spirit is a person. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I know you know this, grief is an emotion. We felt that this week. And it says the Holy Spirit can be grieved. So the conclusion of that is the Holy Spirit has feelings. Remember to find out the meaning of a scripture or passages by its context by which it was written. Remember that? We talked about that. Remember that we need to just, when you read a scripture, what's that scripture say? I don't know, God, what's that say? And he'll say, read before, read after, and you'll find out the story behind it. All right, so with that understanding, let me read a few verses and so we can figure out learning how not to grieve the Holy Spirit, all right? Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, putting away lying, lying grieves the Holy Spirit. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. How many of you were angry this week? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer. Stealing grieves the Holy Spirit. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So not giving would grieve the Holy Spirit. Some of you ask, well, should I give to this? Should I do this? I don't want to give that because I have a bill. Let me tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that leads you and what grieves him when he says give and you don't give. When the Holy Spirit says to tithe and you don't tithe. And we grieve the Holy Spirit because he has emotions. So let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Corrupt words grieve the Holy Spirit, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's all would grieve the Holy Spirit. But verse 32, it finishes with this. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, excuse me, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, if you know the Holy Spirit, you'll know what Christ did for you. There are a lot of people that I have met, they really don't have a tender heart because they really don't understand what God did for them. They don't really understand the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They know of it, but they don't have a personal relationship with that. And because of that, they struggle in their emotions. They struggle with anger. They struggle with all the different things because it becomes demonic. It becomes demonically influenced in how we react to people that are, you know, different of opinion than we have. To sum it up, sin grieves the Holy Spirit. So the reason why a believer can grieve the Holy Spirit with sin is because he loves you and the Holy Spirit knows sin hurts you. But if it's not a relationship, man, God, I messed up. Oh, well. If it's not a relationship, what happens to you when you hurt somebody you love? What happens to you when you grieve somebody that you love? It breaks your heart. But how many people are walking around saying, Lord, Lord, and it doesn't faze us when we say and do things that we shouldn't do? See, it's not about, you know, God is not about you, bad person. God is about this loving Father. And the Holy Spirit is the one that enacts that love. And that's why he's grieved. When we're going against the will of God, because we don't have the knowledge of God. And that's the character of the Holy Spirit. That's the personality of the Holy Spirit, is to teach you those things. And hear it again. And if we don't relate with the Holy Spirit, how can we know the mind of Christ, the will of the Lord? Amen. It's literally impossible if we don't know the Holy Spirit. That statement that I made, I wrote this months ago, and I fought for about a week. I want to remove that out of my notes. I have a little note there on the notes. They don't have it, but I say this. And I battled because I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to stand up here like, listen, man, this is how it is. You know? And we have to recognize that emotion is grief. Grief is a sadness that you feel when you lose intimacy with a person. Did you see the sadness of Erica when she talked about her husband and the loss? That's the relationship the Holy Spirit wants to have with you. You know people when they pass away, they'll be in heaven. But you have lost the intimacy of being with or talking with that person. That's why many people say things that's not scriptural. Well, he's with me. He talks with me. That's not doctrinal. That's not truth. Many instances when you see stuff like that, it is a familiar spirit and it's demonic. And we have to recognize the Holy Spirit feels this grief knowing you haven't lost your salvation when you sin, but you've lost your intimacy with him. How many of you, don't raise your hands, that are married and you did something that grieved your spouse? Did you walk up to him, hey, let's go out to the park and have fun? No, you didn't do that because you felt the emotion and the grief that they felt. Why is that? Because you know them. You know what you did. And you hurt them. It's personal. with the Holy Spirit. So that's why I have no room to feel alone, literally. I mean, I know at times you just feel like, don't people get it? Don't, you know, in life, you know how it is when you go to the grocery store and people butt in front of you and it's like, really? You know, we want to react. Oh, don't look at me that way. You act that way too. But it's because it's personal. I've run out of time. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm use an illustration here. Is I guess I'm using it because I watched my grandkids play football yesterday. Sometimes when we are living our life and we know we've grieved the Holy Spirit, we don't really like, what's going on? How come I feel the way I feel? Because he's residing in you. And you feel that emotion. But you don't understand it. Sometimes what we do with stuff that we've done and we've gotten frustrated with life and all the pressures of life and we've said things, done things, or we feel things and we go in the corner of a room and, you know, veg out, we have a tendency to stiff-arm the Holy Spirit. Like a football player running and he stiff-arms. Because let me tell you what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. He's running at you to tackle you, to wrap his arms around you and say, I'm here. I'm here to help you. That's God. That's the character of God. We see people there, the vitriol, the anger, and the words that they say online. That's why I just encourage you. I'm not telling you get off online. I'm not telling you all get off your phone, whatever. What I'm telling you, the vitriol and the stupidity that is being stated that comes out of anger and bitterness, it'll destroy you. It'll cause you to stiff arm. Because you know what that does? It causes people and God to become non-personal. Yeah. God, you know I'm here. It's your job to help me. Yeah. We spend no time with him, but we're frustrated. We're angry. We're defeated. You know, I'm going to do it my way. That's a great song, but it's not good truth. God loves you so much. Jesus, again, who is our Savior, said, it is expedient. It is most important that I go away. Because when I do, I will give you a spirit, God, who will live inside you, make your spirit brand new. Scripture even tells us your spirit can't even sin. It's your soul. Perfect. Because a perfect God is living inside of you, talking to you. Can we join hands? Before I pray, this is what I'm feeling. I feel like the Holy Spirit's going, yay. And, I know that was weird. It surprised some of you. But that's what he's doing. Because he's a person. In Jesus' name, I proclaim that the word of the Lord, which is absolutely overwhelm us with this truth. Father, teach us to go over this over and over. To go online and search it out Listen to this message many times. Write notes. Pray about it. Dig deeper. Get greater revelation of what Pastor gave, of the love of God, of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this house. You are welcome in every aspect of our lives. Reveal yourself in such a greater way in the steps that we take after this morning. Blessings upon this house, blessing upon every home. In Jesus' name, be healed in Jesus' name. Families, gather together. Lives be transformed. Lives be changed. Salvation happen. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, today's the day. Today's the day. Teach us, Holy Spirit, who God is, because you are God. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. 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 God bless you. Love you. Very proud of you.